Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 30, verses 11 and 12. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
Please be standing for prayer. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord. We open the doors of this place to witness about the one who came to fulfill prophecy, as we learned today in Sunday school. The one who came and suffered, but the one who is coming back as a king and glorious king. And we want people to know him. Actually, we want to persuade people to believe like Paul did, so that they know that there is life everlasting in the person of Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we are not just a body. The Bible teaches we have a spirit, we have a soul. And this part of us, the soul and the body that doctors cannot see, are the parts that can, they're going to be given an account to God. And Father, we want to have a great lawyer before the great judge. And our great lawyer is Jesus, our Lord, which in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 said, we have an advocate, we have a lawyer before God. Lord, we want to tell people that every scripture points to him. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be located here in Morgan Hill, California, United States of America. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be on the internet and the opportunity to be on radio, AVAM, the opportunity to have CDs and tapes, and Lord, I learned this morning the opportunity to be in satellite radio. The people in Texas, everywhere in the United States can listen over AAV, our sermon, our service. Thank you, Father. Thank you. You are a mighty God who fulfilled your word. We just have to follow you, and you do the rest. We thank you, Lord, for our missionaries who are doing the job, and some of them are coming to give a report this year, and we are so happy about it. We thank you for Fred and Carol Lewis. Fred is coming in June. We thank you for Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, for Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Malaga, for David and Denise Ruth, who are in Papua New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, Marta Baretti in Buenos Aires, Argentina, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, Daniel and Miriam Lacey, and Daniel is flying back for 1 week in Daytona Beach, where the race already started the new year, and he was the chaplain there. We thank you, Lord, that he serves you there, and that now he's coming back to meet the family again. Thank you for giving him such a wonderful ministry. And Lord, we're looking forward to add more missionaries and more people who want to expand the gospel in different places. As a congregation, we have people who are sick, and we pray for Patrick Plica, who has a knee and is heading for a surgery and has some difficulties and need to be taken care of. For Loretta Forrest, our wonderful lady, our precious lady, who is in bed with cancer, her smile and her testimony is beyond the expectations of man. And for Jerry West, Lord, thank you. I was on the phone with Mary West and Jerry West this morning, and I got encouraged that he has his surgery done, and now they have 6 months to see the results. And we pray, Lord, that you keep that man free from cancer, colon cancer. Thank you for that place in Austin, Texas, where he was attended. And Lord, we pray for Donald McDowell, our wonderful family here, who he needs the plates to be stable. And we pray for that miracle in his body. You're a God of miracle. You're a God that specializes in supernatural things. Father, I never forgot in the 70s when I was in San Francisco Seminary, one of my professors, an elderly pastor, told me, you handle in your hand a book of miracles, handle your life with those miracles of God. And Lord, each one of us is a miracle in your hands. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, our church, every Sunday we have an offering to keep on the ministry. We are never in the red. We are always paying our bills and doing what we need to do in order to carry the ministry. And it's because your people love you and they give with generosity to the church. Thank you for the offering. Thank you for the giving. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Romans. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 669. We will be reading Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the priceless treasure that we have in the Scriptures. We thank you that you bless us every day continually, whether it be through trials or times of comfort. For we already possess what we needed most, and that is peace with you. We thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to secure that peace for us, and to do that which we couldn't do for ourselves. We thank you for the inspired Old Testament scriptures written for our benefit, that we may learn from them your timeless wisdom. Strengthen us, we pray, to always hold up the weak, even as we are weak. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him, we ask, as he brings your message to us, and give us understanding and the ability to practice what we have learned. We pray for those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, and especially for those who do not know you, that they may hear and understand and believe the gospel and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And this month of March will bring the conclusion of our studies in the book of Job. And today will be one more sermon on the book of Job. And is taking the entire book in view and learning what Job teaches about ourselves. I want to, every Sunday I will greet some people somewhere who are listening to us where via satellite on, you know, you can go any place in the world, go into your computer and type kkmc.com, and then you can listen by radio, via radio, our service. I learned this morning. And today, well, it's actually tomorrow where that person is in Tel Aviv, Israel. Ramil Yaldeh is listening to our sermon, and we send greetings to Ramil as he listened on Monday morning, our sermon from our church. And we hope that he has a safe trip as he flies next week back home. Our series of studies for 3 months deal with life endurance, the ability to bear prolonged hardship, the ability to endure prolonged hardship. Now, why did we study the book of Job for 3 months? Why? Well, if you have your Bible open where our brother read in Romans chapter 15, and in verse 4, which is page 669 in the Bible that is in the pew, and from time to time, because I want to use a lot of scripture, I'm going to give you the reference so that you can see it with your own eye. The Bible says in Romans 15:4, for whatever things were written before, and that refers to the Old Testament, were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scripture, we may have hope. So it will be very good to ask the book of Job what Job teaches us about ourselves. There are two people in the book of Job, Job himself and God. The coming Sunday, we're going to learn about God in the book of Job. What God did to this man, he's able to do it to us too. So we had better learn about him. But today we're going to learn about ourselves. We saw a man full of integrity, not perfect, but full of integrity. A man who God gave the appraisal to be a very faithful man, suffering and then conquering that suffering and get victorious. So what do I learn from this? What do I learn from the book of Job? I wrote this sermon first with 7, 8, 9, 10 lessons, but I have a watch that the deacons bought for me for my birthday right there, and I appreciate it because after 12:05, we're off from the radio. We're still on the internet because we own that, but we're off in the radio, and I don't want to leave the people in the radio without a conclusion, because each sermon should have a conclusion focused on our Lord. So let's have five, at least. Let's see how far the watch moves, and I go on, all right? First lesson from the book of Job. First lesson. We never know ahead of time the plan God has for us. We never know ahead of time the plan that God has for us. So let's go back to the book of Job, chapter 1, and verse 1. Job chapter 1 and verse 1. That's in page 327. Page 327. Job 1:1. The Bible opens the book of Job with these words. There was a man in the land of Uz. We know then that is in Iraq. Whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned from evil. Look at verse 2. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Verse 3 says, also his possessions were 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the east. Job was living one day at a time. One day at a time. He was a great businessman, as all the Iraqis are, and the Chaldeans, Ramsey. They're all good salesmen. And then he was living one day at a time. He never have a dream of what happened to him. Chapter 2, chapter 3, and so on. Never have a dream. He has his life set up. Years and years ago, when I left engineering and I left all kinds of other works and went into the ministry, people said, "What is your security?" I said, "God." Yeah, but what kind of security do you have? I said, "God." And the family was worried. He said, "What kind of security do you have?" "God." See, it's hard to trust God because you don't see God. God doesn't have a welfare plan. God has a great plan. You work and you eat. Is that right? He doesn't have welfare, lose money. All right? God has a tremendous plan for all of us. He said, "What security you have?" "God. God." As a matter of fact, 2 days ago, an engineer from New Jersey said, "Now, I need to build a crane, and I want your opinion." I said, "Well, you know, that would be a very bad opinion. Because I left engineering years and years ago. And now," I said, "you go to the computer, and you have everything made for you. But I don't know where to look and where to have." "But don't tell me that you don't work." And say, "No, I don't." It's just amazing. God. So here is this man. Very comfortable. And a wonderful, wonderful life. A large household. Many maids and so on. And you and I know what happened to him. If you want to know what happened to him, you read chapter 3 again. And boy, you feel sad. We never know ahead of time the plans that God has for us. So, let me show it to you in the Bible. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29, page 461. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 to 13. Jeremiah chapter 29, page 461, verses 11 to 13. "For I know the thoughts," this is God speaking, "for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." That's what God tells you about your future. Now, that doesn't say if it's in a hard time or in a good time. God said, "Now, you can pray and you can find me." It's not that God doesn't say you will have a big job, a big household, a large company. God said, "I guarantee this to you. Any day of the year, you can pray and I listen to you." Wife, not all the time when you talk to us, we listen to you. Sometimes I'm embarrassed because I'm working, Raquel talking, say, yeah. Then she said, "What I said?" And I said, "Lord, why I said yeah. All right. But it's not with God. Not with God. He said right here, clearly, "I know the thoughts," verse 11, "that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and no evil." So anything that happened to you is no evil. That's from God's point of view. "To give you a future and a hope." Even when you lost your job, God is working in you. All right? Let's go to the book of Proverbs. Just backwards. To the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, page 395. The book of Proverbs, chapter 16, in verse 9, page 395. In the book of Proverbs 16:9, we read, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord direct his steps." You know, I learned long time ago, Psalm 46:10, you don't have to look over there. "Stand still and know that I am God." I learned it when I was very young. Have helped me tremendously. Stand still and know that I'm God. Our church is in a crucial moment because the city of Morgan Hill is planning the development of this area. And now we are invited to listen to the developers' proposals to us. And Jack and I had the best time of our life. We know what we want. We know what we need. And we cross our hands in the back when I was playing soccer in that way. And I listened to the referee. All right? That's the best way to get out of trouble. And we listened to these people and I said, well, we want a little more. Yeah? Yeah. We want you to buy us a property and to build us a church for 250 people, supermodel church. Pastor's office with swimming pool in the back, and these are young. They scared them to death. And they wrote me an email with a proposal. So I said, no, it's not enough. God tell me it's not enough. We stand still. And some of you may be worried, what are we doing for our church property? God, we have a property. We are in the best location at this moment in the city of Morgan Hill. So much that these people, after discussing with Jack and I, they said, well, I don't feel bad, said the guy who was the owner of everything. Because if I am in your shoes, I will do the same thing that you do. So we like you. You're a salesman. Yeah, a salesman for God. I tell you. Let's get everything free. All right. Chapter 20. Chapter 20. In verse 24. Chapter 20, in verse 24. By the way, they asked me, Book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 24. They asked me if I have a rich person in the congregation that can pay part of the project. Yeah, I have Henry John, but I don't talk to him yet, I said. All right. Chapter 20, in verse 24. A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? It's so truthful. We sometimes have mornings, and you guys who go to a school, my genius class knows this very well. You go to a school with everything done and something happened. Amazing. Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. You know this very well. Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9, page 437. Page 437, Isaiah 55 verse 8. In verse 9, God again is speaking, and look at what God says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, say the Lord. Jehovah. See the capital letter Lord, that's Jehovah. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and verse 9. Sometimes we think we have everything planned to the T. And God said, your ways are not my ways, so wait a little. Wait a little. In our deacon board, we have adopted a formula to keep the deacons at peace and to know the will of God for this pastor. And I said, no project is going to be presented to the church unless we all are in one accord. So some of the projects are mentioned, but never presented because we are not in one accord. But I know when the Lord is on it, we all think the same. We are all in the same page. Perfectly. Now let's go to the New Testament and see Philippians in the New Testament, page 693, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, page 693. We are learning from the book of Job that we never know ahead of time the plans that God has for us. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to know to God. You see, it's a lot of prayer we are reading here. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, page 693. Now look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We Christians have a great medicine, prayer. Prayer. James, look at the disciple of the Lord. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4. Look at what he says. And James is writing to the people that you study in Sunday school this morning in Acts chapter 13. Is writing to the people in Turkey. And look at what he says. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Some Bible had the word temptation, but it's the word trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If you pray for patience, you're going to get a trial. So be very careful. If you say, Lord, give me patience, and God says, yes, I will give you. There's going to be a trial. You don't know what to do. All right? I got some of those. And be still and know that I am God. It's a very hard verse to fulfill, but it's good. It is good. Can you imagine? I date Raquel 7 years. Oh, no, I don't want to marry you. You are too tall. No, I don't want to marry you. You are too tall. And we, no, I don't want to marry you. You are too tall. So I said, God, give me some insight what to do. So I want to talk to her mother who was shorter than Raquel. And I said, Doña Maria, you like me? Look at, I had nice mustaches. I brought my newspapers with my pictures on the soccer game. Look, I'm a great guy. And she said, who's your father? Who's your uncle? My uncle is Arturo. Oh, I know Arturo. He was a great believer. She cared less about my soccer, my career. She said, I know Arturo. She was a great believer. She said, I like you already. Oh, I said, I got 50% of the game gone. And then Raquel said, no. So I went to visit when Raquel was not home. I went to visit her. I said, no, I have a plan, Doña Maria. What's the plan? Wherever you, Raquel, go around the patio someplace, you have to say, oh, Gabriel. Talk about Gabriel the whole day. Finally, I'm married. But, boy, you learn the patience of the Lord, all right? Because I know what I need for my life. And I never repented, and I'm so glad that God provided for me what just I need. One more scripture. 1 Peter 5. You're in James, go to the right. 1 Peter 5, page 715. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. This is a verse you know very well. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You got the word? In due time. 1 Peter 5, 6. Now look at 5, 7. Casting all your cares upon him. Why? For he cares for you. So what's the lesson here? The lesson is this. We never know ahead of time the plans that God has for us. Go a little bit to James again. This time to James 5, page 715 there, James 5. 712. Now James 4, please. James 4, verse 13 to 16. This is the counsel of God. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such or such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is life? It is even a vapor. Appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Do you see it? How wonderful it is. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and do that. But now you boast. In your arrogancy, all such boasting is evil. So my friend, one of the things we learn from the book of Job is to think very carefully about tomorrow. Yes, you planned your school, your college, your graduate school, you planned your work and your life. Yes, but you have to say, if the Lord wills, so you're never frustrated. If there is a change, that's the change that God has made for you. So never frustrated. There is nothing more worse than to be frustrated. When I'm not an expert in the computer, but if I'm looking for something in research and I cannot get it, I leave the computer and go get a cup of coffee. Because there is nothing more terrible for the blood and for your brain than to be frustrated that you cannot accomplish what you want, especially if you're a man. So we never know ahead of time the plans that God has for us. But we can say, if the Lord wills. Now, number two, second lesson, a vertical perspective will keep us from horizontal panic. A vertical perspective will keep us from horizontal panic. Let's go back to the book of Job, please. Back again to page 328, Job chapter 2, in verse 10. Look at what Job said when his wife, remember his wife asked him, why don't you curse God and die? And his wife loved him. She stayed all to the end with him and have again children with him. And in verse 10, look at the answer, the theological magnitude of his mind here in verse 10. He said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. And now here's the theology. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? Do you see it? This is extraordinary. Extraordinary. And look to chapter 1, verse 21. Look at what he says about what happened to him. Chapter 1, verse 21. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job finds nothing wrong with what has happened to him. Wow. Wow. Job chapter 1, verse 21. He finds nothing wrong that he lost everything. He said, God can give and God can take it away. You see the advantage of knowing God for your life? Keep a vertical perspective. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 12, if you go to Hebrews 12 and verse 2, which is page 709, Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 2 is my counsel to you. Each time you panic, each time you are confronted with a puzzle in life, Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When something happened to us, don't just do an evaluation here horizontally. Move up and look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. A vertical perspective will keep us from a horizontal panic. Number three, lesson number three. Discernment is needed to detect wrong advice from well-meaning people. And this is the verse in Job, going back to Job, chapter 2 and verse 10. Discernment is needed to detect wrong advice from well-meaning people. Maybe your pastor counseled you something and it's totally wrong. Let's see. When his wife said to Job, you curse God, his wife a believer, you curse God and die. Job said in verse 10, shall we indeed accept good from God and shall we not accept adversity? In other words, he is completely knowledgeable. Job knew he could not in good faith follow her advice, no matter how well-meaning she was. We're wrong. What do you do then? I tell you what Paul did. Because Paul was very aggressive and has a tremendous personality. Look with me in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, page 675, 1 Corinthians, in chapter 11, and verse 1. Look how Paul covered himself that he will not fail and do like Mrs. Job did to Job. Look at what he said. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, page 675. He said, follow me or imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. And you follow your pastor as your pastor follow Christ. So you check with your Bible, don't we? You check with the scripture. If the pastor is doing what the scripture said, I must be doing that. If the pastor is doing this, A, B, C, D, and whatever he's doing what the scripture said, I must do that. If an elder in the church, a deacon in the church, is following Christ and doing this and the other, I must follow that. That's what we elderly people give an example to the young people, but check that what we do is what Christ really wants to do. Amazing. Amazing. A vertical perspective, discernment is needed. You need to discern. See, if you don't read the Bible, you will never discern. For the Sunday school class, we read with Raquel twice the chapter in home. I read it twice myself. And then in the Sunday school class, we play it from Scorby, so that we got the right pronunciation. And then we went over the chapter again. So six times. And I think I know just a little bit more on the chapter about the duties of the church. As I was reading, the whole sermon came into my mind, the duties and advancing of the church. And now, listen, if you read your Bible, you will know what God wants. And so you will know if this person is doing right or wrong by measuring what that person is doing with the scripture. With the scripture. All right, so number one, we never know ahead what God is going to do with us. Number two, a vertical perspective will keep you from horizontal panic. Then discernment is needed to detect wrong advice from well-meaning people. Four, when things turn from bad to worse, sound theology help us remain strong and stable. When things go from bad to worse, sound theology will keep us stable. Let's go to Job again in chapter 2 again on the book of Job, verse 11 to 13. Now when Job's three friends, remember that time, heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place, Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shihite, and Zophar, the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. Verse 12. And when they raised their eyes from afar and did not recognize him, they lifted their voices and wept, and each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. When things turn from bad to worse, sound theology help us to remain strong and stable. Now these people, they were reasonable and caring men, but they were wrong. And applying everything they said to Paul. So when you listen to somebody, how do you know a right or wrong? Well, you've been in Romans today, and let's go back to Romans 4 now. And page 663, Romans chapter 4. And you will see twice the scriptures say this. Romans chapter 4. And look at in verse 3. They were asking the apostle Paul how the Abraham was saved. They wanted really to know from Paul's point of view. And look at what Paul says in Romans 4 verse 3. For what does the scripture say? And he say that again in Galatians 5:30. For what does the scripture say? In other words, when things turn from bad to worse, sound theology will help you to keep yourself informed and from error. So when you have a question, don't be afraid to ask the Bible that question. And if you don't know what it is, you either can call the office and I give you some reference. But the best counsel, the best opinion you can have is the scripture. And you don't need college for the scripture. The college is in your home. You get up half hour earlier and start reading your Bible. Where do I start? Well, where did the Bible start? In Genesis. Just start in Genesis and keep on going. Well, I don't know how to repeat those names. Now listen, if you don't know almost in your mind the Pentateuch, you cannot teach a Sunday school today. Every verse from chapter 6, from verse 16 to verse 23, every verse was a complete book of the Bible. And that genius Paul did a summary of that book in three or four words. And you need to have the book in your head to understand what he was saying. And he was talking to mighty, mighty Jew who knew that. Listen carefully. The only reason why Christians get in problem is because they do not know the word. We lost the time where parents sit at home and read the scripture after dinner. We are too busy. Well, read it. Wake up your children at 4, like my grandmother did, 4:30. Thank God for that Palestinian grandmother. When the Palestinian found the Lord, it's like a tiger. They're a tiger now against America. Imagine when they become believers. The whole neighborhood knew the Lord. Because she went house by house. It was because of my grandmother the First Baptist, Southern Baptist Church was founded in Buenos Aires in 1907. Because she really knew the Lord through that beautiful American missionary, Pensati. My friend, grandma read the scripture over and over, 2-3 hours. And I said, when this is going to be over? But, you know, we eat real chocolate in Argentina. At that time, we cut it from the tree, we put the boil in, and you prepare it, and the smell of the chocolate in the kitchen, the passion to listen and to eat the chocolate. Grandma never knew what she was doing in my head. She was reading in my head this book. The eye should check the book. Lesson number 5. The cultivation of obedient endurance is the crowning mark of maturity. Don't panic. Don't quit. Don't go in frustrations. Don't go in depression. Please. Look at Job. Let's go to the end of the book of Job. Chapter 42. Verse 7 to 10. Chapter 42, verse 7 to 10. And so it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is arose against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right. My servant Job has. Now therefore, take yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams, that was the belief of the Old Testament. Go to my servant Job and offer up yourself a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Twice. Verse 9. So Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite, went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friend. Not when he went against his friend, not when he tried to justify himself. When he surrendered to God, God blessed him. Don't fight with anybody. You have somebody who is really a pain in the neck to you, just bring it to the Lord. Not in anger, not in judgment, but say, Lord, bless this person. I'm so good and he's not. Please bless me. What is it? Can you play like that? Well, I'm better than so-and-so. I think you cannot pray that way. But when you pray, see, you become real because you cannot fool God. You see what it is? God said, Job, pray for these people. And Job prayed for them. And then God blessed him. And you know, all his brothers came in. You know that ceremony. All his brothers, we never saw them before. They came in. This man, they brought presents to him. And he has, again, seven sons and the daughters. A cultivation of an obedient endurance is the coin mark of maturity. I thought, what can I say to my young people today? I was in a school theater yesterday, sitting down, and two young people, I was in the last row, two young people came in, my wife touched me, and I look on it. You can see the generation we are living on. Beautiful chairs. Beautiful. I wish to have that for a church. And these two young people, they came in, they raised their foot, and they put their foot right on the top of the other chairs. I look on it. Whew. I said, I had to get out because I will get it by the neck and see them. You know, I said, I better get out of here and come back again. What do we do? So we all dress with a suit? No. I told the class today, no, that's not the easy way. Here it is, Romans chapter 12. When you had doubts about how to live, you go to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 2, tells you how to live. And this was written to the Western hemisphere, to the Roman people. Look at what the Bible says. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not the renewing of your dress, but the renewing of your mind. And that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's just outstanding. The Bible tells us in a remarkable way, in a fantastic way, that if we cultivate in our life obedience, that we're going to endure regardless, and we're going to witness like the apostles did in Turkey today in Sunday school lesson. If we're going to be successful, we need to stand for God and remark that don't fight anybody, don't go against anybody, just tell everybody, Jesus save, Jesus save. And wear your life in such a way that reflect a Christian in your life, in your walk, in your speech, in everything. So then I start with Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime or before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scripture, what the Bible says, might have hope. The Christians are people that have hope. Hope. No hope in you, hope in God. Do you know God? Do you know the God in the Bible? Do you know Jesus, who can introduce you to God clean, blameless? That's the key in your life. If you don't, please talk to me. Talk to me. Say, Pastor, who is this Jesus? Because when you got this Jesus in your heart, it's when everything is fitting together. Father, thank you. Thank you for the blessedness of knowing you. Father, thank you for the blessedness of having such a beautiful and wonderful salvation that now give us hope in the world we live like Job. He suffered. He went into panic. But then at the end, he was okay. Father, I'm at the end of my life. And I tell you, God, I'm okay. You are more than what I expected. I believe in Jesus and I knew very little, even though I knew the Bible. But when I knew you face to face, when I have neither you and I pray and the answers came, oh God, I don't change that for any one of my professions. It was the best of my life to know you. Father, bless someone here today. that they may know you too. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
I saw them being born. You know, that's a great privilege. What a privilege I have. Lord, we love you. And we love you because you care for us and you have given us the wonderful word to be instructed to know you. Father, bless those who know your word with the endurance of life, who is a living testimony of how great you are. Lord, bless those who do not know you to inquire about you, the mighty and wonderful God who has sent his Son to die for our sins so that we may have life and life eternal. In his name we pray. Amen.